Hey, I'm not speaking tonight. Wyatt Brown, actually, he was texting me and telling me when he was going to get in. And I said, well, if you get in on time on Wednesday, you can help me teach on Thursday morning in an itinerant class. And he thought that the class was today, so he jumped in the plane and flew in last night. I said, well, since you come early, you're going to preach tonight, so I don't have to preach two times in a row. Now, Wyatt Brown graduated in 1978. He came to school. He was part of the Faith First singing group I had, Lynette and I had, called the Faith Creations. He never played a bass guitar in his life, and David Horton taught him to play the bass guitar in a month, I think. And I don't know, was it a month later y'all were in the studio recording? 3 months to the day they were in the studio, and he played. So, but he pastors in Greenville, South Carolina, but he traveled as a traveling minister for many, many years, still does a lot of traveling. So make a good Rhema welcome to one of y'all, Wyatt Brown.
Thank you, Pastor. Good evening, everybody. We've already worshiped, we've prayed, we've had tithes and offerings. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes, and may God use this to do something good so you leave here better than you came in. Amen. Tonight is, what I want to talk to you about is childlike faith for adults. So this is an adults-only service. Somebody said, you mean you're going to say stuff that children shouldn't hear? No, I'm going to say stuff that adults need to hear about childlike faith. Okay? So media folks are going to try and keep up, and they're real gracious, and I think they'll probably do a great job. But the first verse to actually see, and we'll take time to look at this one, is Psalms 116, verse 6 and 7 in the New Living Translation. Psalms 116, verse 6 and 7 in the New Living Translation. And it's David speaking. He says, the Lord protects those of childlike, say it out loud, childlike, of childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. I got to put my old people glasses on. So I'm going to give you some references, and so you'll know where they're at. A lot of you know these verses, you've read these verses, but Matthew chapter 18, it's verses 1-5, and it's on one of the occasions when the disciples came to Jesus. They were all in a tizzy, and they said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? How many of you know they had a lot of those conversations? And Jesus called a little child, say little child, say little child. Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the middle of all of them, says in the midst of them, and said, verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children. Say it out loud, little children. Little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Then Matthew 19, verse 13-15, the New International Version. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples, being spiritually keen, rebuked those who brought them. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. Leave them alone. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Then he placed his hands on them, and he went on from there. Mark chapter 10, verse 13-16, and it's in the New International Version. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked him. Jesus saw it. He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to, say it out loud, such as these. Now, I messed you up on the timing on that. Would you say it after me? The kingdom of God, belongs to such as these. Who were the such as these? Little children. Okay? Now, I tell you the truth, verse 15, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That's strong, isn't it? Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Luke 18, verse 16 through 17, New Living Translation. Then Jesus called for the children, called for them and said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Can you put Luke 18, verse 17 in the New Living Translation up there for me? Because that one's worth just seeing. There we go. Next one, verse 17, right there. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will what? Never enter it. You realize that's not talking about going to heaven. That's talking about receiving what God has for you. There's a whole lot of Christians, you know them, I know them, I've been in ministry, I showed up here at Rhema, end of August was 41 years ago. By this time, I was pretending to play the bass. By this time, and was part of the crusade team and traveling Pastor Hagen and with his father. And I don't know why I thought of that. But it says, but anyway, so through all those years, being in ministry, being a minister, being a pastor, being a traveling minister, I've met so many Christians that the only thing Christian about them is they prayed a prayer and accepted Jesus. And when they go to heaven one day, and they will go, they'll be one of those ones standing out there that the Bible says there is a multitude that's innumerable that's holding a fig leaf. Doesn't say they got rewards and crowns and all this stuff. They got them a fig leaf. Those are folks who did not receive what God had for them and accomplish what God had for them in this life. They didn't enter into the kingdom. And so he said, to do it, you got to become like a little child. Now, let me go. It's dangerous to go here because this is the verse passage that this whole ministry is just, it's just the foundation cornerstone that changed my life and so many people that are here. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and verse 24. Okay? You can probably quote it. If you can't quote it, you probably have mental challenges. King James, for verily, Jesus said, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore means since verse 23 is true, here's the application. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. What do you want? And Jesus asked that of a lot of folks that came up to him. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And the next verse goes on and says, and if you got aught against anybody, forgive so God can forgive your trespasses. Now, that's believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's the King James Version. I want to quote it to you out of the adult version that to my knowledge is not in print. But how many of you, you know, like, it's like me, the fact that I'm speaking tonight was an accident because I read what Pastor Hagin texted me, and he texted me correctly, but when I read it, I read stuff into it that wasn't in the text. I added thoughts that he wasn't thinking. And so he said, hey, since you're coming in Wednesday, you can help me, you'll teach a class with me. That'd be fun. I mean, they adopted me into their family 41 years ago. This is family for me. And so I said, great. And this was yesterday morning. And I looked at my wife and I said, he's inviting me to do the class with him on Wednesday. That's tomorrow morning to fly out there because I was flying myself. I said, I need to run to the airport and jump in the plane and go now. She said, well, you better go. And my own airplane, the FBO at my airport, they damaged it. And so they gave me a loaner. A 1966. Well, mine's a 2005. It's got the latest and greatest satellite everything. It's got Wi-Fi. It's got Bluetooth. It's got all this stuff. It's got everything. And so they gave me this 1966 Baron, which was a cool airplane in its day. But a lot of those people have passed on. And when I first got in it, I'm a fairly high-time pilot. I've been a pilot for 32 years, but I never flew Barons. And so I got in it with a retired airline pilot who's a friend of mine who had plenty of time in it. And he said, well, first thing you need to know about this airplane is all the stuff that don't work. And I started looking at all the panel, and almost everything in there, somebody put a sticker on and said, in op. That means it don't work. Inoperable, inop. He said, now it's got an autopilot, but you know, it don't work. I go, you got to hand fly this thing all the way to Oklahoma. And Barons are like sports cars. I mean, you just kind of touch them. And it's like, and I was IFR, so you got to like stay nailed on an altitude. And I drifted up at one point 400 feet, which was like that. And I looked at it, I went, oh man. And I shoved it back down. And just went right back down to 8,000 feet. And the controller called me and said, Baron 264, Quebec, what is your... Oh, never mind. Our machine must be off. I said, I'm reading 8,000 feet. I hope that Baron... That controller's a Christian, but he doesn't watch tonight. Anyway... But I read his text, and he told me the truth. I read the truth, but I added to the truth. And that's what we often do with the Bible when we shift from childlike faith to adult faith. Now, here's the problem with you being an adult. You are intelligent. You'd have so much less problems if you were stupid. I mean, you ever seen somebody just dumber than dirt? They just go around happy. I mean, you ask them, did you see the news? They go, what's that? They don't know, they're happy. It's raining. Yeah, I know, I'm getting wet. Sunshine. I know, I'm in the sun. You know, the whole world might go to war tomorrow. Will it be fireworks? But now, this is not a trick question. And if somebody elbows you beside you, if you raise your hand, just ignore it. But how many of you, and this is a raise your hand question, how many of you are intelligent? I told you it's not a trick question. Look at you, jerk your hand back down. How many of you are intelligent? Now, let me, that's wonderful. I like being with intelligent people. But the problem with being intelligent is we think. Now, my wife is so much better with sermon titles than I am, but she's got a sermon title that is a different message, but it would apply here. It's called How to Tell If Your Butt's Too Big. She preached it at a ladies' conference. Men's conference, we don't have that. Anyway. But the message was, if you're always telling God, but God, this won't work because but, then your butt's too big. And the more intelligent you are, the bigger your butt usually is. You got a big old IQ butt. And the Bible is full of IQ butts. Now, let me quote just to, because we can't read it because it's not in print. Here's the adult version, not childlike faith, the adult version of Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, begin to worry and try to figure out how to make it happen. Look to create opportunities to force it. If it involves finances, get around people who have more than you and make sure you tell them how you're in need. Begin to work your plan and plan your work. But what do kids do? I mean, little kids. Little kids have no concept of how it's going to happen. If they trust you and you said you're going to do it, they just know you're going to do it. Now, I want to speed ahead, and I'm just going to... It ain't funny yet. Quit it. Funny's coming. I want to give you just one example. The Bible's filled with them. I'll give you one example, okay? And I'll just give you the references on it and tell you the story. It's Moses. Exodus chapter 3 is when Moses had the burning bush experience, right? Moses was a highly intelligent human being. So in Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, God starts off with the burning bush. Moses goes, I ought to go over and see why this bush is on fire, and yet the fire is not burning it up. Gets near it. Lord speaks to him, says, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Oh, take my shoes off. Standing there watching a bush burn, and it don't burn up. And then you read the whole chapter, and God tells him the entire plan. I'm going to send you back to Egypt. I've heard the cries of my people. I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to use you. You are going to lead them. You are going to go talk to Pharaoh. You're going to tell Pharaoh this. And then he lists several of the plagues, not all of them. And he even ends with this. He said, I'm going to kill Pharaoh's firstborn son. Says all the way back in Exodus 3. I'm going to turn the water of the Nile to blood. Tells him he's going to do all this stuff, and I'm going to use you. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 4 should be called the big butt chapter. Exodus chapter 4, here's Moses doing adult faith. Number one, he goes, but Lord, if I go back, the people won't believe me. Let's just kill it right now. People won't believe me. And so that's when God said, take your walking stick, throw it down, phew, it becomes a serpent, which was the sign of Egyptian royalty. Because if you watch the History Channel, because they're out of their gourd over the Egyptian histories, they always had the serpent thing on the front of their head. And so then he reaches down and turns back into a staff. Then he says, now stick your hand inside of your cloak. He sticks his hand. He said, pull it out. It was leprous. He says, stick it back in. Pull it out. It was whole again. Amen. And so Moses then goes, but Lord, I can't talk well. I like it because the King James says it this way. I am not eloquent heretofore. If you're trying to explain that you're a bad talker, don't say, I am not eloquent heretofore. Just go humada, humada, humada. And then God spoke up and said, I'm the one that made your mouth. I made your, that was a perfect opportunity for Moses to say, then touch my tongue. And then the fourth thing is in verse 13 of that chapter, Moses just said this, why don't you go find somebody else? And then it says, and the Lord's anger was kindled. Now, I'm from South Carolina, so you may say this too, but we get mad as fire. That's godly. Because the Lord's anger was kindled. But you know what? You can become a childlike faith, a person of childlike faith. By the time Moses, a process happens. By the time you get through all the plagues and Moses leads everybody out after the first Passover and they get up against the Red Sea and here comes the Egyptian army and it's all these chariots, all these warriors. It's Pharaoh himself. They're coming to kill them all. And the Red Sea's here. Then Moses turns around and says, and looks at everybody and says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, why are you talking to me? Just stretch your hands out over the Red Sea and tell it to split. And Moses doesn't say, but I am not eloquent heretofore. Moses just held his staff and his hands out and spoke to it, and the thing went whoosh. Now, how did that happen? I don't know. But he said they walked through on dry ground with walls of water on both sides. Did you ever notice this? You don't see God do the same miracle in the same way very often. You know why? Because he's the creator. You know what creators love to do? New stuff. Different ways. Now, real quickly. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 tells us this. That Jesus is actually, you know, if I ask you who created everything, we'd all say God, right? Okay. Did I hit a doctrinal issue here or something? I mean, just like a CNN convention? I'm sorry. Somebody's got to cover the tribulation. Anyway, I'm real sorry. Hebrews 1 verse 2 says this, that God created everything, but the way he did it was the one who actually did the building was Jesus. It was through him everything that was made was made. You know, I've got commercial builders in my church. One man for 40 years built apartment complexes all over the East Coast. He never nailed a nail. He never drove a truck. He never did anything with a backhoe, but yet he built these complexes. But you know what he did? He's the one who had the design, and he's the one who put it all together, and he's the one that got all the workers to do it. In God's case, he had the design, and he handed it off, and Jesus was the one who built it. Now think about it. The one who built the rings that go around Saturn. The one who did all the designing and the engineering so that the gravitational pull of the moon, the way it goes around the earth, changes the tides. The one that now the Hubble telescope that's way out in space, and they keep updating the software, and they've got pictures of over a million galaxies that are out there. Galaxies. We're just, the Milky Way is just one galaxy we're in. The captain of our salvation made all that stuff. And you want to tell me he's going to have a problem fixing my little life? John 16, verse 24, up until this time, you've not asked a single thing in my name as representing all that I am. This is Jesus talking in the Amplified, John 16, verse 24. But now ask and keep on asking and you'll receive. If we don't, and in the Greek, it actually one translation says it this way. If we don't have it, we'll make it for you. Yeah. All right. So that your joy, your gladness, and delight may be full and complete. I've told you these things in parables, veiled language, and allegories, and dark sayings. The hour is now coming. I'll no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I'll tell you about the Father in plain words and openly, without reserve. At that time, you'll ask or pray in my name. And I'm not saying that I'll ask the Father on your behalf. He said, because that'll be unnecessary. For the Father himself tenderly loves you. Say it out loud. God the Father himself tenderly loves me. God the Father himself tenderly loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. Now, let me tell you a real quick story, all right? 30 years ago, I'm preaching in a little town in East Central Texas. I actually looked it up today. At the time I was there, town had a population of about 3,100 people. I remember I would go there every few months. I mean, you know, every 14, 15 months. And I remember when they got a Dairy Queen. Man, that was a big deal. But I'm preaching there, and I'm preaching Sunday morning through Wednesday night. So the community's small. Quite a few of the men in the church worked offshore oil rigs in the Gulf. So they would go out and work 2 weeks or 3 weeks on and then be home for a period of time and then go back and be on those rigs for, you know, extended periods of time. There was a lady, now I found this story out when I was back at that church like 14 months later. This lady stood up and said, can I tell you what happened when you were here last time? She said, my little boy, you know, they didn't have children's church activities, you know, in any of those night services. She said, my little boy, he was about 8 years old. She said, he came every night. And I remember, you know, it was a smaller church and they were right over there. And she said, just to keep him, you know, where he, you know, had something to do, so, you know, he wouldn't be noisy. I brought his coloring books and his crayons. And so the whole time I'm teaching and preaching, he's laying in the floor with his coloring books, coloring. And so I'm preaching about faith. I'm preaching about thoughts, imaginations, and strongholds, that if you think the thoughts of God, and imagine what God has for you, it'll become a stronghold and grip you. It'll drop into your heart, come out of your mouth, and your words will cause it to come to you. He's coloring. His mama's listening hard like a grown-up. Okay? Week finishes out. I leave. I'm back 14 months later or so. She stands up. She said her husband was out of town that week out on the rig. She said her husband, you know, they were a Christian family. Husband is putting his little boy to bed. And when he gets back and he says, well, honey, you ready to say our prayers? He said, yeah, daddy, let's say our prayers. So he kneels down beside his little, you know, 8-year-old little boy. And he says, anything you want to ask the Lord about? He said, yeah, daddy, I want to ask the Lord for a new red bicycle. And, you know, as parents, we immediately go into feeling like God, only we don't have his resources. And so the daddy said, honey, me and mama would love to get you a new red bicycle, but we don't have the money to do that right now. And the little boy said, I'm not asking you. And then the daddy said, oh, okay, let's go ahead and you ask the Lord. So they prayed. The next morning, and I'm sure this led to some, you know, talk between the husband and the wife of who did you take him to hear while I was gone? The little boy goes and points out in their front yard and said, can you see my new red bicycle? And just points at a spot on the grass there by the sidewalk, you know, front door. See my new red bicycle? And they go, uh-huh. And they go, we got to figure out how to get some extra money, get this boy a bicycle, because we're going to ruin his faith. We're going to ruin it with Jesus. He's going to turn him a heroin addict. We got to do something. I added that part. But so then he talks about it for a bit, and then he stopped talking about it. So a few more weeks go by, and daddy's putting his little boy to bed that night. And he goes, well, you ready to say our prayers? And he goes, yeah, daddy. And so they kneel down. And so his daddy says, you want to remind the Lord about your red bicycle? And the mama got tears when she said this. She looked over. She said, and he looked at my husband and said, why, daddy? He didn't forget. And the daddy went, okay. I'm not eloquent heretofore. And another month goes by, and the boy's grandparents, they don't know any of this. It's not talked about anything. But then the grandparents had some friends who they didn't know anything about this. But have you ever been out shopping and you come on a sale that's so good, you don't need it, but you should just buy it? It's just, this is too good. Somebody should buy this. And I don't see anybody jumping up, so I just have to buy this. So these friends of the grandparents were out shopping on a Saturday, and they came on this sale, and it was a new red bicycle for a little boy. And they said, man, that's just too good of a deal. Now, they're like in their 60s. It ain't gonna work for them. But they said, who do we know that would like that? And they go, wait a minute, don't those friends of ours have a grandson that's about the right age for that? And they said, yeah. So they bought this bicycle, put it in their trunk, drove it over to their friends who were the grandparents and said, hey, and told them the story. They put it in their car. They drove over to where the little boy's house was, their daughter and son-in-law, and they get the bicycle out. They happened to park it right where the little boy had been pointing all this time. And then went up and knocked on the door and told, and the little boy, he opens the door, he sees it. He don't listen to the explanation. He just runs out and jumps on. And before he rode off down the road, he looked at his mama and daddy and he said, quote, from his mama's lips, he said, "See, I told you God wouldn't forget." And took off on his red bicycle. My point is, if you want to have childlike faith, it's easy. Just don't try to figure out how God's going to solve your problem. If you find his promise, just obey it. There was a homeless guy came to our church. He was working on a construction site. One of the other guys working on the site was in our church's family, found out the guy was living behind the home site. They're building a residential area in a tent. He was homeless. He'd been homeless for about 3 years and bad times, you know. And so he invited him to church. The guy came to church. So I got this homeless guy sitting there in church. He listens to the whole thing. And the thing he caught about it was when we received the offering, I talked about tithing and how God blesses you. It's just what the Bible says about tithing. And he said, "Well, I can do that." And so the guy started tithing. 1 year later, the guy came up to me and told me the story. You know, he became a part of our church. He came and told me the story. He said, "I just want you to know I bought my first home." And he said, "And the address just happens to be, I actually live on Easy Street." Will you close your eyes? Will you say it out loud? Heavenly Father,
I receive this.
Help me not have a big butt. Help me. Believe you. Act on your word. And trust you. With childlike faith. I'll do it. Amen. Thank you for letting me talk to you.
Praise the Lord. That's Wyatt Brown. He hadn't changed in all the years. He's always been quick-witted like that, even back when he was 18 years old. You know, did you get anything out of that? You know, sometimes we need to really read the Bible and take it for what it says rather than trying to figure it out. Amen? You know, Wyatt came down here and he is helping us, and after he graduated, he stayed around for a little bit. Craig was playing soccer, and they want me to coach this team, and is in grade school. I don't know what he's nine years old, or how old were you? Fifth grade. Anyway, they want me to coach this team, and they haven't won a game, and I don't know, they hadn't never won a game. And so I knew Wyatt played in his high school. He played for his high school, and they won the state championship in South Carolina in his high school. And I said, "Okay, Wyatt, I don't know nothing about soccer. But I said, you can coach these boys. You coach them and teach them the basics of soccer, and I'll motivate them." And we took a team that hadn't never won a game in oh how many years, and we finished the season at 500. And it was a team that all the other teams kicked their guys off because they couldn't play soccer. But when White got through with them, and I kept telling them they could do it and motivating them, they could. You know, I just thought of that story. You talking about kids, and they believed. I told them, I said, "You guys can win." I said, "The reason you're not winning is because you don't think you can." I said, "Listen to me, you can do it." And they started believing what I told them. And you know what? They went out and did it. Isn't that like childlike faith? Amen.